just more upbeat. I'm not as uptight about things. I'm just happier, easier. Mm-hmm. I'm not as I don't have to have everything just sold.
So let me just say, so when I said that, you know, so the, I talked about the part, she accepted it, and then we're able to roll on. And now she's going to start talking about how she's changing. Now, we talked about that over at the desk, but I wanted you to repeat it so it would be on the videotape, and that's why we're doing this here.
Kel, does he ask her to know if she's here?
No, he never found out, as far as I know.
Okay.
Now, when we wrote down on what we were working on, one thing was feeling stress and anger. So you're noticing a change in the stress level, and you're noticing, are you more patient, less likely to become angry?
I'm less likely to become angry. I'm looking more at where the other person is coming from, mm-hmm. and not taking it as personal. That it's not me that's causing this. It's, you know, it's from where their perspective is coming from.
So being more patient. That's
right. Yeah, I guess.
I want to do something real quick. There's a noise in the background.
Okay.
Now we won't have to shout to hear each other. Okay. Let me take a look at the kind of hypnotic inductions we've been using. Only modified. Okay. We're going to use imagination this time.
Okay, that's not my strong suit.
Have you ever seen either a cartoon or a TV or a movie or news program where they have like a rocket ship on the launch pad ready to take off?
The Roadrunner comes to mind.
Okay, and there's somebody, you know, that's going 10, 9, mm-hmm. 8, and then like somebody's watching that count and they've got their hand on the lever. And then when it gets to zero, you're going to throw the lever. So what I want you to do is in a moment whenever you close your eyes and put your hand up on an imaginary lever.
Okay.
Then out loud, because I need to know where you are in the count, mm-hmm. just imagine, think about that there's a rocket ship ready to blast off when you throw down that lever.
Okay.
And then just follow. And before you get to zero, you know, you'll be in hypnosis.
All right,
so just take your hand up here. And I don't want your elbow on there. Just wrap your hand around the lever. Perfect. Close your eyes. Imagine any kind of rocket ship you want. And then count backwards.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Swing! Loose, lever, relax. Way down. All the way down. Deep, 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 sleeping, sleeping, way down. As I'm counting through, one down to three, just like yourself. Back to that from the other feet. One, just let yourself sink back down. Like your little chair. Two, that's good. Three. The deeper you go, the better you feel. The better you feel, the more and more deep you relax. Every breath takes you deeper. Every sound takes you deeper. Every thought takes you deeper. Following my instructions takes you deeper. The deeper you go, the better you feel. And the better you feel, the more and more deeply relaxed you become. It's just an ongoing process of becoming more and more deeply relaxed with every breath. In a moment, we're going to double this relaxation. In a moment, I'm going to count from 1 down to 5. As I do, allow yourself to follow my instructions, and with each and every number, you will go so deeply relaxed that by the time I get down to 5, you will double the relaxation. You want that, and you can have it very easily. Here we go. 1. Relaxation is slowly beginning to double. That's good. 2. Relaxation doubles more and more. That's fine. 3. As the body relaxes, the mind relaxes. you want. Relaxation is almost done. And letting go, letting go. The deeper you go, the better you feel. And the better you feel, the more your mind and body relax. You have deepened the relaxation, and you have doubled the relaxation. There's three or four important things we do whenever we do hypnosis together. One of the first most important things is just listening to the sound of my voice, following my instructions. And as you go deeply relaxed, hold on to that relaxation. And every time I drop your hand, just let yourself go more deeply relaxed. That's right. The second important thing is from time to time I have you think about or imagine something. Third important thing is from time to time I have you become aware of feelings, sensations. Like the feeling of your pants touching your legs, sleeves touching your arms, chair pushing up into your back. Whenever your attention goes to the feeling of the chair pushing up into your back, reminds you to go deeper and deeper relaxed with every breath. Whenever your attention goes to the feeling of the chair pushing up into your back, to remind you that you're all grown up, safe and secure in my big old chair. Now we're going to use those familiar abilities. I'd like you to begin to remember or imagine that round room one last time. That big old round room with the two chairs. It's so round, even the ceiling is domed, like an igloo might be inside. Where your mind has you in that round room, I'd like you to go over and sit in one of those chairs. And as you do, you look across and you wonder, well, who goes into that chair this time? A very important, special person in your life. It now becomes as if there was a mirror in front of you, because in that other chair is a perfect reflection of you. But it's not you. It's just a part of you. It's the part of you that made all the mistakes in your life. It's your contribution to any pain or disappointment or hurt in your life. And you look over at her and see how she looks, and she doesn't feel very good about herself. In a moment, I'm going to offer you some things to say to her. Do not say them unless they're true. Look over at her and say, "You hurt me."
You hurt
me. You hurt me a long time ago. She's the mistake-making part. She's the part of you that made the mistakes. She did the things that you regret. Did she hurt you?
No, she made mistakes.
And as a result of those mistakes, did you find pain? She's the part of you that perhaps stayed when she should have left, left when she should have stayed. Remain silent when she should have spoke up when she should have had an attack. She's a part of you that maybe lied when she should have told the truth when maybe she shouldn't have spoken up. Has any of her behaviors ever caused you or someone you care about pain?
Yes.
That's what I mean by hurting you. I'd like you to look over at her and say, "You hurt me a long time ago," if that's true. Because the truth is, even children make mistakes, isn't that true? Mm-hmm. And are hurt or hurt someone else. So you'd say to her, "You hurt me when I was a little girl."
You hurt me when I was a little girl.
Tell her about a time when she hurt you when you were just a little girl. Something that she did that caused you pain. How do you hurt me now?
How do you hurt me when went to the store with Mom. And we were returning the bike. You wanted to return the bike because you didn't like it. That's the reason you told Mom.
Well, you made me feel.
You made me feel disloyal. Like a buyer.
You made me think.
You made me think that I didn't know the right, what was right and wrong. I just wanted to get what I wanted.
True or false, you made me think there was something wrong with me.
True.
And then you became a little older. And she continued to do things that caused pain. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Tell her about that. How did you hurt me when?
How did you hurt me when you didn't stand up for yourself?
Tell her about that.
When you knew what you said or what you thought was right, but you just backed off.
You made me feel.
You made me feel that I wasn't strong enough, that my opinions didn't count.
Tell her about
that. You knew you were right. You should have stood up. You should have been strong enough.
You made me think.
You made me think you were a coward. I was a coward.
That's right. She robbed you of your confidence, isn't that true?
Yeah.
And then you became a teenager. And she continued to make mistakes that caused pain, isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
Tell her about a time you hurt me then.
Hurt me when you didn't put your full effort on the tennis team.
Tell her.
You were good enough. And you could have done really well. Just didn't bother to try.
You make me feel.
Like a loser.
You made me think.
I didn't have the persistence or the determination to do it.
You turned me into a quitter. Is that true?
Yeah.
Tell her.
Turn me into a quitter.
Tell me how that affected your relationships back then. With other girls, perhaps.
I didn't want to win bad enough. I didn't want to do my best. So you just didn't want to play with me.
I didn't want to do my best because I was afraid that.
I was afraid that my best wasn't good enough.
That's right. And if you really gave it your best and then you failed, how would you feel?
I didn't want to try because if I tried and gave it my best, it may not have been good enough.
That's right. And how would that make you feel?
A loser.
That's right. And then she continued to make mistakes, get hurt. Tell me how she affected your relationship with boys and men as a teen. Because of you, tell me.
Because of you, I was always very shy. and feel very comfortable around boys or men.
So she held you back, not true?
Yeah. She held me back. She told me I was pretty enough. Nobody would be interested. Wasn't worth trying to talk to anybody.
She robbed you of years that could have been much fuller, that could have been much richer, that could have been much more worth living, true or false.
True.
Tell her you robbed me.
You robbed me.
You let me down.
You let me down.
How does that make you feel?
Mad.
That's right. And she hurt you when you were 18 too, didn't she? Tell her. What hurt me the most was, tell her.
What hurt me the most was you knew I shouldn't have gone through with the engagement. You weren't strong enough to stop me. To stand up for me.
She let you get bullied into it. True or false? Manipulated, pushed, something like that. True? Tell her about that.
I'm more worried and afraid and concerned about what other people thought than what I thought, felt, and wanted.
Tell her what that did to you.
Changed my whole life.
Tell her about it.
Things could have been so different.
She filled you with regret, isn't that true?
Yes.
Tell her.
You filled me with regret. I've lived the last 16 years, wishing I had never done that. Wishing I had waited. Or known better.
Tell her.
But I knew better.
Take back control. Tell her. Stand up to her.
I knew better, you knew better. We both knew better back then. We just weren't. We weren't worried about us, we were worried about others.
You made me feel.
That I wasn't important.
You made me think
that I didn't matter enough.
You made me feel.
That I was worthless, that everybody else was more important. That what they wanted mattered more.
And now you make me feel.
Angry.
That's right. You still carry that pain around with you today, don't you?
Yes.
She still hurts you, doesn't she?
Yes.
And that part of you wants to just keep on doing what she's been doing. How's that make you feel?
Mad.
Where is that feeling in your body?
My chest.
Focus on the feeling. Focus on the feeling. I want you to have a heartfelt talk with her. I want you to take back control. You tell her what you think about what you think she's done to you. Tell her about it. Stop her.
You both was worried about what other people wanted and thought and needed. What I wanted wasn't important enough. You always put it to the side. You always thought that if you did what they wanted, they'd be happy with you. But it didn't matter. What I want isn't there.
Tell her about the pain she's put you through. Tell her.
Never felt important. You didn't make me important enough.
And she wants to just keep on doing that. That's the part of you that wants to just keep on holding you back, telling you, don't stand out, don't try too hard, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, I'm going to keep robbing you of the quality of life, just like I've been robbing you. And she's just going to keep on doing it. How do you think about that?
I don't like it.
Tell her, you're not going to do it, let her do it, get away with it, tell her.
You're not going to do that anymore. I can't let you do that anymore. I've got to take care of myself. I've got to think of what is important to me. And I better make sure that I get what I need to get. I'm not going to let you put me inside anymore.
So much loss. So much regret. Let you down. Put you down. She'd put you down before other people had a chance. She'd put you in your place before other people had a chance to even try. And you're angry about it. Where is that anger? I want you to let that anger go up into your shoulder. Let it. Let's get rid of it. You don't need it anymore. Because we're going to change her today. Let that go all the way down into your hand. Push it into my hand. Push it. Good. Tell her. Tell her what you think what she did to you. Tell her.
You put me down. You put me aside. You didn't listen to me.
Tell her.
You should have listened to me.
Let her know she can't.
I knew what was right. I knew what should have happened, but you didn't listen to me. You wouldn't listen to me. Every time somebody said something nice about me, I didn't believe you. I heard you say, no, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't mean it. Just discount them because they don't mean it. I know what's right. I know that you're not really that way. I know that. So every time anybody was nice to you or said something nice to you, you just didn't let you listen to them. I didn't let you listen to them. I told you, no, they don't know what they're saying. They're not really meaning it. They just don't mean it. They don't really know who you are. I know who you really are. And you're not really a nice person. You're not really all that pretty. You really aren't all that smart or anything. You're just not really that. And you listened to me, even though you knew that maybe I wasn't right all the time, but you listened to me.
That's right. Nobody has hurt you more in your life than the one in that chair, the mistake-making part. Nobody has put you down as much as her. No one has limited you more than her. Tell her what you think of what she did to you.
Why'd you do that? I mean, that was so unnecessary. It's not necessary. Who are you listening to? Why? Why'd you do that? What possible point did you have to make?
Tell her what she did. Tell her about the losses. Tell her about the limitation. Tell her. Take back control.
Why didn't I feel like I had to listen to you? You didn't need to listen to you. You just didn't need to listen to you.
I don't want
to listen to you anymore.
I hate what she's done to you.
Why did I listen to you? You just didn't need to listen to you. Why did I need to listen to you?
I hate what you did to me.
I hate what you did to me.
Tell her.
You took it away.
And I'll let her have it. Let her have it. Tell her. Let her show her she can't do that to you anymore.
You can't do that to me. Get away from me. I don't want to listen to you anymore. Just get away from me. I don't want to listen to you anymore. I don't need to listen to you.
Be the mistake-making part. I can't believe what I just heard. All she wanted to do was have a happy life, a life filled with potential and love and self-acceptance. But from the very beginning, you held her back. You said, who are you trying to kid? When they talk to you like that, they're just manipulating you. They're just saying that. They're just being nice. How could you dare to think that you're good enough, smart enough, pretty enough? And you hurt her. But she could get away from dad. She could get away from her husband. She could get away from brothers. She could get away from somebody. She could go be by herself. But you followed her everywhere. And you took the pain everywhere. You take it to her in the daytime. You take it to her in the night. There is no peace because you are the worst one. You're the one. You rob her. You let her down. She could have had a very nice childhood. Except you. She couldn't get away from the pain for a minute because everywhere you went. Didn't you grow up in the kind of family where you learn that you're good enough, you're smart enough, you're pretty enough? The mistake-making part.
No.
Was your purpose to hurt her, to torment her?
No.
You never meant to make her hate you?
No.
And you didn't mean to hurt her? That wasn't your purpose?
No. No.
What were you trying to do, mistake-making part? Holding her back? Stealing her dreams? Stealing any inkling of self-esteem? What are you trying to do?
Trying to help her be real.
What might happen to her if she dared to think that she was good enough, smart enough, pretty enough? What would happen to her if she dared that?
She might fail.
And then how would she feel?
She'd be crushed.
So you were trying to prevent that from happening.
I didn't want her to get hurt.
So your desire was not to hurt her, but to keep her from being hurt. Is that true?
Yeah.
Tell her what you were trying to do, that you weren't really trying to hurt her. Tell her what you were trying to do, mistake making her.
I didn't want you to get out of your league, or...
Because what might happen? What might happen if she did? If she tried? What might happen?
She wouldn't make it.
Who might point it out to her? If you didn't point it out to her, who might come down on her?
Others. Family. Friends.
So you were trying to protect her from that, is that true? Tell her about that.
I didn't want you to be disappointed in yourself, feel like a failure. I didn't want you to try for more than you can chew or more than you can take. And then you wouldn't fail. Because then you wouldn't grab more than what you could handle.
True or false? It would hurt even more if someone she cared about or loved told her there was something wrong.
True.
And so you were choosing the lesser of two evils, is that right?
Yes.
The lesser of two pains.
Yes.
You were trying to protect her, is that right?
Yes.
I might have misnamed you. You may not be the mistake-making part. You may be the protective part. Who's made some mistakes along the way. How does that fit? Tell me more about that, how you were trying to protect her. Who's protecting you from that?
Protecting you from your struggle with feeling inadequate.
Who made her feel inadequate? Who would do that to her?
Seemed to be everybody.
Dad, true or false?
True.
I was protecting you from Dad.
I was protecting you from Dad.
Who else, family?
Your mom, your coach, your teachers. Mm-hmm. Science teacher that said you could only get B's, that you weren't smart enough to get A's. Your brothers. Your husband. Friends.
You are indeed the protective part. Now we have no problem with what you are trying to accomplish. We only have a problem with the way you've been trying to accomplish it. Does that make sense to you, protective part?
Mm-hmm.
Because when she feels pain, you feel the pain, don't you?
Yes.
Because you're a part of her. And when she feels happy, you feel happy. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And so you were just trying to help her avoid the pain. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Now, protective part. There's been some people that have been through similar circumstances of hurt and pain. And some of those people didn't make it this far. They were either emotionally or physically crushed. And they even have hurt themselves, jumped off a bridge or something like that. So the heck with it. The hell with it. You're the part of her that kept that from ever happening. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Because you protected her from those kinds of behaviors. Be the self. You believe it?
Yes.
How do you feel now?
She hurt me, but she didn't mean to. She wanted to take care of me.
The truth is, she did the very best to keep you alive. There's been others that have been through similar situations and they didn't even make it this far. You actually owe your life to her. She's a part of you that keeps you safe, even if it means hurting you. And it extends out in all directions. She's a part of you that keeps your children safe. How do you feel about her now?
Why does she have to keep me down?
Protective part is fine.
I
don't
want to keep you down.
Tell her what you want for her.
I want you to accomplish things. But I want you to see it realistically. To know that there are always limits. And to see those and not to stick your neck out so that it gets hurt or chopped off.
You just wanted to be happy and to feel good, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Achieve, be nice. Because when she has those feelings, you have those feelings, isn't that true?
Yes.
But the problem is protective part. She got hurt when she was this little girl. And somebody else was supposed to protect her. Now in a little girl's life, who's supposed to protect her?
Mom and Dad.
They let her down. And you had to step in. But you only had to mind the experience of a child. You were overwhelmed. You were doing the best you could at the time. But you're still treating her like a child. She doesn't need that kind of protection anymore. She hasn't needed that kind of protection in a long, long time. You're still remembering the pain of the child. Well, the child's now safe and secure in her heart. So you don't have to treat her like a child. How do you feel about that protective part?
Are you sure?
You so. Talk to her. You're the one you want to take back control. Are you up to handling a little more pain than you've been? You ready to take back control of your life? You ready to come out of that closet, out of that shell? If you are, you need to sell her on it.
Yeah.
Tell her I'm not that little girl.
I'm not that little girl.
Tell.
I'm stronger. I can deal with more. I know what I can do. I know what I can do. I know how to manage the pain. I know not to let it go as deep or to affect me as strongly. I need you to encourage me, to help me be stronger.
Once again, tell her, I'm not that little girl.
I'm not that little girl.
Tell her, I'm a grown woman.
I'm a grown woman, though.
I'm a mother.
I'm a mom. Strong. That's right. Capable.
Tell her.
I can take care of things.
That's right. Tell her from your heart of hearts.
I need you to be a partner and teammate. I need you to take care of me. I need you to walk with me. Talk to me about what I can do, not what I can't do.
She's a very strong part of you. You need her strength back, don't you? You protect her part of this part. You believe her?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
That I'm not needed anymore.
Protective part? You've been working too hard for too long. You've been giving it absolute 100%, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you're tired. You're so tired. It's time for you to step back. You need a rest. But you're not going to stop protecting her. This is what I want to suggest to you. See, she needs those little nicks, those little bruises in life, so that she can grow to be the woman that she needs to be. You see that? She needs to be able to withstand daily life, little problems. It makes her stronger. But she still needs you. And this is what she needs you for. She needs you to protect her in the big ways. Life, limb. You're the one that makes sure she puts the seatbelt on her. You're the one that makes her look both ways before she crosses the street. You still have a big job. You're just not going to sweat the small stuff anymore, you see? She needs those little challenges in her life. She needs to stand out in front of people. She needs to be able to say her opinion and take the consequences. But you need to be there like a bodyguard, always in the background, watching out for real danger. And it's even more important now because you're a mom. You see? So you need to not be all wrapped up in the details of life. You need to be there so that you can help also protect her children and the big things. So you're still very important. How does that make you feel? Protecting her, how does that make you feel?
I'm not sure I can do that. That I can back off.
Deeper relaxed. I want both of you to listen to me. I'll tell you a short story. It's a story about a young man, but today it could be a woman. This young man had always admired builders. Men who build houses, buildings of all kinds. He wanted to be a carpenter. Shortly after his 18th birthday, he lined up a job with a crew of men that were working not too far from his home. Got up, he stopped by to visit his mom. His mom, smiling, gave him a beautiful lunchbox. So this is for your son. And there's something special inside. Don't look at it now. He got in his car, and on his way to work, at the very first stop sign, he stopped and he looked inside and he saw a pair of gloves. And they were expensive gloves. They were professional gloves. And they were strong. Because his mom wanted to keep him safe while he was working. But it also warmed his heart. But it also was a sign that she respected his wishes to be a builder. She just wanted to protect him best she could. Shortly after that, he got to the work site. At the work site, he reported to the foreman. The foreman looked him up and down and said, "First, you go cut those boards." He handed him a piece of paper with the measurements on it. "After that, go over to the building and nail them, just so." He was excited, he was eager, he was optimistic. And he ran over to where the boards were, and he got a saw, and he got a straight edge and a pencil. He put on the gloves that his mother gave him. because she loved him so much. And they felt good, and they protected his hands. And then he grabbed the tools and the pencil, and he found that it was very difficult to draw the lines exactly with the beautiful heavy gloves that his mother got him. But he persevered, and he kept going. It took him longer than it should have, and it wasn't exactly right. He was getting frustrated. And the thought came to him, maybe I'm not supposed to be able to do that. Maybe I'm not supposed to be a builder. But finally he got the boards cut to length, and he went over to where the building was, the frame. And he was ready to now hammer those nails to hold the boards to the frame. And he had a box of nails. And he reached down to the box of nails. And it was very difficult to handle and manipulate the nails just so with the beautiful gloves that his mother gave him. Because she loved him so much, she wanted to keep him safe. And he got more frustrated. And then he got depressed. And then he started saying, maybe I was wrong. Maybe God doesn't want me to do this. And he's about ready to quit. His dreams dashed. His calling squelched. And just before he put down the hammer and walked away, took one last look at the other man that he grew up admiring. And he saw something he never noticed before. He said, these men didn't wear gloves. And when he had the opportunity, he looked closer at their hands. And he noticed that their hands were strong and calloused and skilled and conditioned to the work. And he could see the little nicks and cuts healed, little scars that had transformed those hands into the hands of a journeyman, a trained professional in the field that they chose. He looked back at his hands, and he saw that they were still the hands of a boy, untested. And a change happened inside of him, deep within his chest. He put the gloves back in the lunchbox. He didn't throw them away. But he put them back in the lunchbox, knowing that there might be times where it would make sense to wear those gloves. Maybe handling sharp-edged pieces of steel or stone. Anybody knew. But he didn't need them every day. In fact, he couldn't be who he wanted to be so long as he wore them every day. The change inside of him made him not only put away the gloves, it made him actually look forward the nicks, cuts, and bruises that would transform his hands, transform him into the man he was called to be, builder. Years later, he was working on the site when a young man came up. He thought about him and reminded him when he was just a mere young man. He looked down at his hands. And they had become strong. And they had been conditioned to the work. And he looked closely and he saw, yes, he too bore the little scars long since healed over. And his stronger hands were no longer injured because they'd become conditioned to the work. The things that used to hurt him no longer do. He had earned each scratch, each cut, like a sergeant earns his stripes. He knew that it was worth it. He blessed the day that he took off those gloves so that he could become a builder, so that he could answer his call from the man that he needed to be. Well, protected play, it's pretty obvious. You're the gloves. Self. You're the person. You're like the young man, the calling. You have so much yet to give, so much yet to do. That you gotta go through the little cuts, the little scratches in life. You've heard that before. Did you hear that? Do you see how you're the gloves? Do you see how doing what you've been doing is going to cause more pain than the world's going to give her? Be the son. You ready to take those gloves off? That means you're going to get hurt. That means you're going to get cut. But you need those little cuts and bruises now, don't you? Because those challenges in life are going to grow you into the woman that you need to be inside. You're the protective part. So we're not asking you to go away. We don't want you to go away. We just want you to step back. Take care of the big stuff. And this is what you get. You need to give the self a gift of love. A gift of falling down once in a while. And letting her pick herself up. And then she gets to feel growth, strength grow within her. Feelings of accomplishment. She'll be a better person, better mom. Because she's going to teach the kids it's okay to fall down. Pick themselves up. Would you like to do that protective part? Do the self. You ready for that kind of life? Is that what you want? So this is the deal. The protective part backs off. And self, you begin to embrace the pain. Not just put up with it. Not just manage it. But you look forward to it. You seek it out. Not so that you hurt yourself, but that you allow yourself to be in situations where you can grow. Where you once in a while feel the sting of your life. Because as you move forward, you become stronger. You become the person you're meant to be. Is that what you want? Are you ready to do that? What do you get out of itself? What do you get?
I get myself back.
You get to be who you are called to be. You get to live again. Because you've been living a numb life compared to the one you're about to live. Be the protective part. Protective part, what do you get?
I get to rest.
And you also get to feel all the good feelings that you get as she grows and becomes a full person. Of that self. Protective part, I'm going to do a little bit of reality testing. Is there anything that you can conceive that could happen that could cause you not to keep her under the deal? You know your life. What could come up to cause you to not keep her under the deal? Be the self. This is what you do, self. You can handle a job interview, can't you? What's the worst thing that can happen? You get rejected. We've lived through that before. You don't need her there to reject you first. Do you? It's not a life and death situation, is it? Tell her she doesn't need to be there for that.
You don't need to be there for that. You don't need to stop me before I get there.
That's right. Tell her you need that pain. You need that experience. Tell her.
I need that pain. I need that experience. I need to try for it.
Be the protective part. Did you hear that? Do you believe her?
Yeah.
Be the protective part. I mean self. Self, is there anything that might come up to keep you from keeping your end of the deal? Will you call her in and say, come on, protect me, Don't let me get hurt. Treat me like a little girl.
Yes, sir.
Be the protective part. Well, she's begged you. She struck out at you. She screamed at you. Hated what you did to her. Have you learned from that protective part? Is that any time to treat her like a little girl when she's being a wife or mom?
No.
So you're willing to stay in the background when it happens?
Yeah.
Now you're there for life and death. You're there for arms and legs, real physical harm. In that case, you step in. In other cases, you just sit in the background. Is that agreeable to you?
Okay.
Be the selfie believer. Be the protective part. Protective part, there's one other time where you might mess up. Not meaning to. There could be a situation where just out of habit, you just accidentally step in. Just out of habit, you didn't mean to sabotage or undermine her or hurt her, but you just might, as a knee-jerk reaction, step in. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. And you've been doing it for a long time. But you know it instantly.
Yeah.
So if that happened, it would be nicer if you just step back. I go, oops, I'm sorry, and just step back. That'd be nicer than have her jump on your case about it. Would you be willing to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't, would you be willing, like if you don't notice that you're doing it, would you be willing to accept a very respectful, gentle reminder from her?
Yes.
Be the self. This would be a little gentle reminder. It's okay, I can handle this. When the protective part steps in and doesn't notice it, all you have to do is say, it's okay, I can handle this. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
When the protective part, is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to do this as an agreement, a trial period of about a month. About a month, you're going to come back in, we'll talk. Is that okay with you? Okay. Protective part, you hurt her a lot, didn't you? And you regret it, don't you? And if you could go back and change it, you would. I'd like to free her from the past.
I would like to do that.
Beg her forgive you. For everything she did. Because if she forgives you, then she can't lie. And she'll be free.
Please forgive me for everything I did. I wanted to help you and protect you. I didn't realize I was hurting you. Please forgive me.
Be the self. Protective part is a part of you that caused every bit of pain, every mistake, every bit of pain, every bit of holding back, every bit of robbery that you had anything to do with in your life. If you forgive her, you're free from that pattern. She represents everything you've ever done. Thought, word, deed, emotion. Are you ready to forgive her? You keep talking until every little bit of anger, every little bit's gone. Forgive her completely. Take back control of your life. Go ahead.
Forgive me for holding me back, for talking me down, for turning me back, not letting me take risks. I forgive you for not seeing that I was able to handle things, for not realizing that I needed to grow.
Now I understand.
Now I understand why you did it. I don't want to do it anymore.
Feel those feelings. These are good feelings. I forgive you because...
I forgive you because I realized that you had the best intentions. But you didn't know. You didn't realize. That you're protecting me was holding me back. I couldn't be who I wanted to be. Because you always had me afraid of trying. But you always had me afraid of trying and failing. And failing is okay.
Why don't you look inside yourself? Is there any anger towards her love? There is, keep on talking until it's gone.
I want you to listen to me when I tell you I need your help. Please listen. I tell you I can handle this. Please trust me when I tell you I can handle this. Don't doubt what I'm saying to you. Don't make me doubt. I can handle it.
Inside yourself, if there's anguish.
There's no anger.
Do you forgive her?
Yes.
Do you say, I forgive you?
I forgive you.
I can love you.
I can love you.
And I can accept you.
I can accept you.
Can you protect your heart? Wow. Pretty amazing, isn't she?
Yeah.
Because you didn't know she was that strong, did you?
Yeah, I did.
You gonna keep her in the deal?
Yeah. Okay. I can try.
You'll notice if you don't, you can pull back immediately. And if you don't notice, she'll say, it's okay, I can handle it. You understand that?
Yeah.
Now she yelled at you and she didn't understand you and she wanted to beat you. Do you forgive her for that?
Yes.
Do you?
I forgive you for getting upset. I know where you're coming from. I let you make your mistakes.
I'm not going to treat you like a little girl anymore.
I'm not
going
to treat you like a little girl anymore.
You mad at her anymore? So I'm protected by her.
No.
You hurt by her anymore?
No.
So you forgive her?
Yeah.
Tell her.
I forgive you.
I love you.
I love you.
And I accept you.
I accept you.
Now I'm talking to both of you. There you are in those two chairs, and you get up, and you walk towards each other, and you hold each other. Like two twin sisters separated by anger. Well, that anger is dissolved away today. And you hold each other, you accept each other completely. Because nobody knows, like you two, what you thought, what you felt. That across from you is the only one in the world that's walked in your shoes. Knows every little misdeed that you've ever done, every negative thought, every negative feeling, and accepts you and loves you anyway. This is what's called unconditional love. And so feel the love go between you two, complete positive acceptance, because there's nothing wrong with you. If you can forgive you, then there's nothing wrong with you, there never was. You're good enough, you're smart enough, you're pretty enough, you're everything enough you need to do. To do what you're called to do in this life. And as you hold each other, there's a blessing coming down from above, from your very Creator who knew all the time there was nothing wrong with you because He doesn't make junk. He came and gave, put you in this world with everything you need to be, every skill, every resource that you need to do everything that you need to do in this life. And as He blesses you, come back into one. Melt back into one. And up until today, there was a battle going on inside of me. The battle's over. Because you've accepted yourself. The successes with the mistakes. You are one. You have such a level of peace available to you now. The energy that you use to maintain that battle and to hide it is now yours. To stand up to the challenges of your life in a peaceful, loving way. You are stronger. You have greater stamina. Your whole body becomes healthier, stronger, with more vitality. Heck, you're even going to feel younger. How do you feel?
Can you breathe?
That's right. You can fly. Because now you've got all your strength that you need. You're not going to condemn yourself. You're going to respond. And so you let go into a world that you create. Yeah, there's going to be pain. Bless the pain. It helps transform you into the person you need to be. Your leader, your mother, your absolute one. There's nothing wrong. I'm going to count from 1 to 5. When I get to 5, your eyes open and become fully emerged, and all these changes are permanent. Because you can never think about your life the same way again. You can never think about yourself the same way again. Everything's changed. You're going to be more optimistic. It's going to be less stress in your life. You're going to be more patient and loving. People may even comment about the new year. Why don't you pay attention to your body and notice how good you feel? So peaceful. So clear, so free. So self-accepting. To kind of feel lighter with your life. Because you let go of that last bit of baggage in the end. 3, the subconscious mind and conscious mind working together to give you this experience moment to practical use for you. 4, preparing to open your eyes into that new world. Feeling so good, so fine, so wonderful. 5, open your eyes. Notice how good you feel.
Oh, wow.
Awesome, huh?
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Well, wow.
That's who you really are. You're wow. Kind of surprised yourself, didn't you? Tell me about it.
It was me all along. It wasn't anybody else. It was me. I was trying to do that. Was... I did it to myself.
You had some help, didn't you? You got set on a path when you were very small. And then it just kept perpetuating. I didn't realize how strong you are, how responsible you are for your own thoughts, your own feelings.
Yeah. Wow.
So who's in charge now?
I am.
These are people.
I am.
That's right.
Oh, I'm all
wet. Is there anything wrong with you?
No, not really.
You good now?
Yeah, for whatever.
That's good. You smart now?
Yeah, so.
Can you create now?
Yeah.
You're everything enough you need to do what you're here for. Awesome, huh?
Yeah.
You're feeling good, aren't you?
Yeah.
Did I keep my promise?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I just want to laugh.
That's that joy inside you. It's been waiting to come out. Now it dares to come out. It takes courage nowadays just to be joyful, just to laugh.
I guess. Who would have thought that? Yeah.
I'll be back about a month for a checkup.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you've started a whole new week, a whole new part of your life. And I'm glad you can start to see yourself the way I see it. A magnificent, wonderful creation, part and soul of mine.
And I'm glad that I can actually believe you. Yeah. I can let myself believe that you actually.
Wait until everybody who knows you runs into you, who you really are.
Oh,
wow. They might be in for a surprise now and then.
Oh,
yeah.
I might be in for a surprise.
What an exciting life you have ahead, huh?
Yeah. Put any makeup on, but...
You've learned, haven't you? You're still finding a little
bit. Yeah, it's still coming up black for some reason. Oh, wow. Who cares?
I want to commend your courage, too. You know, this is not an easy process, but it's relatively fast and it's very thorough.
Yeah. I don't know if it's courageous, but...
Okay, desperation.
Desperation, yes. Call it what you want.
The perfect blend of the two.
Whatever.
Okay, you put your head up.
Okay.
And if you want to put your feet down, you can. You can do it, whatever you want to do. Okay, quick break, 5 minutes. We got a lot to do. Can't believe it's almost 5 o'clock.
You are going to tell us later what happened to Kata?
I might even tell you sooner.
Oh, good. I've been wondering ever since I saw those.
Do you do pain management?
I don't do a lot of it. I've done some of it. Not my specialty.
Okay. Pain management.
My wife does a lot of pain management by trying to stay away from me as far as she can.
Doing the business stuff.
For her, just, you know, I get to be too much of a pain and she goes away. That's her pain management. Maureen, she's the saint.
I won't meet her.
Yeah. Come to the convention.
Where is the convention?
Marlborough, Massachusetts.
This year? Is it
every year?
Is it always in Massachusetts?
It's like second weekend of August.
Is it during Bike Week?
Yes, I never go to Sturgis again. It's during Sturgis, not Bike.
It is. I'm gonna get out of my house now.
guys got questions about Prada?
Was Bike Week at the same time as Sturgis? Oh, you're in Sturgis. That's right. You're in Rapid City. Yeah.
Hang on. I'm afraid I'm getting
John, you have something? Okay, reboot it. And so it'll be ready for me when I come back.
Maybe it auto-saved the file.
It might.
All right.
Teach you relaxation.
Yeah. I try to make one myself. Any good?
There you go. That's perfect.
Arm drop. Leg drop.
So
I can just
neck break.
Okay.
I keep the neck not flexible.
And that's why you have to.
You want the neck to be flexible?
Whose hand is that?
That's Jenny's, my fiance. Is she pretty?
No, we don't want to break her neck.
No, we wouldn't want to break her neck. Should the neck be
flexible? Well, she's got a long neck.
She does have a long neck. In this situation, it's just not the proportion.
Yeah, long neck. Lisa Kudrow kind of looks.
Should the neck be loose?
She's got a long neck.
Someone the shoulders to stay out.
Hey, you know what, man?
Excuse me. Thank you for your time.
I'm typing up a thing for you. I'm
taking over the world.
I'm sorry. Links to the resources and stuff like that. And my computer just jammed. And John's trying to get it going. You know, it's in the manual. I'll type up and give to you the last bit of the mind tricking mission, and then also how to use the
head
recognition and the full form vision. And then Maureen's talk is on calbanion.com, a specific place. And there's also I'm going to be talking about the STAR business model. I can try to give you a link to that on the website. I mean, it's not going to be as good as
true, true. And I would have been here if I could have.
I know you would. I know you would. I think it's the best we can do for you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Buy the business pack.
Oh, baloney. Buy everything.
Buy everything.
You're worth it. Your practice is worth it. The people you help are going to be worth it. This is
if
not
you
the
lived
end. This
in a
is
place,
the beginning.
Here's a question. If you lived in a place with 60,000 people, would you get it all?
It would be the smaller the number of people I have to work with, the more important it is that I have the maximum amount of information. Because I got to do good with those people, because in small town, word spreads like wildfire. And plus, you got to think that in rural areas, you'll draw from a 60-mile radius. Out there, it's nothing to drive an hour to go somewhere.
You're right. It's nothing to drive
That's
5 hours to go somewhere.
That's one of my favorite things in the whole world.
Road tripping?
No, being right.
Oh.
Typical man. And anyone who recognizes that I'm right immediately jumps about 20 points in IQ in my book.
You must be
a fire.
Oh, yeah. I was going to get
nope.
No? What's your sign? Keep off.
What do you think? Not fire.
Here we go.
So, he signs, don't tread on me. Yeah.
I'd like to have a
judge
too.
My sign, that little symbol, it's a little round sphincter. I'm a butthole sign.
I copied down the words he used.
And where's my microphone? There it is.
I watched literally 2 minutes of video for about 2 hours. 2 minutes of video. First I copied down all the words he used. Then I copied down all the movements he made with his hands, where he put his hands and went from them away.
Yeah.
Then I copied down, watched this a few more times to get down all the breathing that was going on.
You're not
going to
believe it. I kept learning from Legata videos for about the first time, 10 times I watched them. I'm serious. I go, he's good. How do you do that? There's something about getting out of your own skin and watching yourself. You can learn a lot.
All right. they're already kids. You know, like working with children. I don't know if I'm going to work with them, but if it says I'd be good, I don't mind it.
Curtain climate.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll send all the kids to Cal. Who's
me? I'm working with kids.
He looks like he needs a challenge.
Come on.
Okay, time's up. Get in here.
Yeah.
I got a gazillion things to do. You guys sitting around watching movies all day. I got to work. Okay. What? No, I'm going to start right now. Page 52. They can miss out if they're not here.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Page 52, phase 4, forgiveness of self, both forgiveness therapy and a special case parts mediation therapy. It is a good thing to use the same deepening technique repeatedly. It brings on feelings of familiarity, safety, and security. I cannot believe it. I run into hypnotherapists all the time and hypnotists that say, oh, I got to have a lot of inductions. Why? Well, because that way, you know, my clients don't get bored with me using the same induction. I don't care if my clients get bored. All I care about is results, and they don't. And, you know, they come to see the hypnotist about 5 times. Every single time, it's very interesting. Okay? Second, they say, oh, I have to have a lot of deepening techniques. What? I don't want my clients to get bored. That's ridiculous. Why in the world would you use a different deepening technique that has proved itself to work last session? We're not, see, this is not a hobby. We're not doing this to entertain ourselves. This is a profession. Okay? So we do what works. We do what we have confidence in. She has some resistance to the concept that she may have had some responsibility for the pain. This even surprised me in the setting. I've never seen this kind of much resistance before. I said, so, you know, tell her, you hurt me when? To the little girl. And she was unwilling to admit that maybe she had ever done anything in her life that hurt herself or anyone else, at least as a little girl. She made mistakes. Well, as a result of those mistakes, were you or somebody else hurt? Yes. Do it. Okay, then she came up with the bicycle incident and so on. Then we get right into it. You hurt me when? You made me think. You made me feel. And then, because of the time I've spent with her, I know about some of her regrets. And if you know about clients' regrets, then you can bring this up by saying, because of you, I put an ending on it. Because of you, I never went to school. Because of you, I got married too young. You see? And what are we doing? These are things to put on the platter of pain. You robbed me. These are things, this is a way to provoke things that she feels like she's cheated herself in. Okay? Tell her, you robbed me. Tell her when she robbed you. And then, of course, one of my favorite was, what hurt me the most was, whenever you do a forgiveness session of any kind, say that, because that's the cherry on the top. That's the worst of the worst. That's what they perceive to be the unforgivable sin. If you don't call it the unforgivable sin, because now you've suggested that it's not forgivable. Okay? They'll say, no, we're going to go after that unforgivable sin. Shoot yourself in the foot, right? So what you want to do is just say, tell it, what hurt me the most was. This is so good. You knew getting married was wrong. I knew better. Oops. What'd she do? She just took responsibility. Huge shift of locus of control. Before that, see, that's one of the tricky things that happens in the forgiveness of self. When they go after that part, and they, you did this, and you did that, they're going, and then you know what you did? And then you did this, and you did that, and, uh-oh. Oh, I love those kinds of things. So now she's taking responsibility for the thing that hurt her most. Before that, it was dad's fault, mom's fault, my brother's fault, society's fault, you know, Allah's fault.
Locus, is it spelled like grasshopper?
L-O-C-U-S. That's Greek or Latin or something like that. It comes from the method of loci, which is to remember things by placement and stuff like that. So anyway, or it might not have anything to do with that. Okay, and so when she left, I'm just inside. I'm going, ha, 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 gotcha. How does that make you feel? You make me feel angry. Tell her. Okay? And unless something happens today, she's just going to keep on doing it. I like to say this. I say, you know what she wants? She wants your future to look exactly like your past. How does that make you feel? Shred the pillow right there. Okay? So what I'm really doing is I'm exacerbating anger and frustration. Frustration feels like anger. They won't know the difference, but it'll get them to start emoting and pounding. Push all down in my hand and then into the pillow. Now, let me tell you something that's interesting. Once they get going at that pillow, they don't always want to pound on the pillow. They might do some pounding on the pillow. I want them to do some pounding on the pillow. I want to pump that anger out of themselves. But you know what they really want? They want a mistake-making part-ectomy. They want to get that mistake and just cut it off. But you can't. You can't. You see, you do not want... There are some really silly techniques out there that I loathe. Here's one of my most loathsome... That's not easy to say. That's my most loathsome... It's like I got a lisp or something. My most loathsome... The thing I hate the most is when hypnotists do stuff like this. They go, now, I want you to take all that anger and, you know, they're in hypnosis. And I want you to just imagine you got a red balloon. And I want you to just blow all that anger into that balloon until there's just no more tie knot on it. And then just release it. Then don't you feel better? That's called disassociation. That makes the symptomology worse. I went to this fancy schmancy snubby kind of hypnosis conference at the University of Minnesota where you had to be a licensed professional to even go. I don't know why they invited me. They probably didn't have a license. I just have the degree. And the doctor gets up there and starts talking about how useful that technique is. And he goes, you know, but the funny thing was a few days later I drove by the person's house and he's out there with a chainsaw just ripping down every tree in his yard. I don't know why. It must have done some good. No. What you did is you disassociated from his authentic emotions. And now they're all bubbling up. You didn't neutralize them. And he's out there with a chainsaw doing the chainsaw massacre thing in his front yard. But with trees, thankfully. Jeez. No. All feelings are good if they're based in reality and you want to work with it. If they're not, you want to change the perception. That's what we do. Okay. When you ask if the mistake-making part was trying to hurt her, you point out the purpose of protection so you can rename it as the protective part. You know, God, some people have been through what you've been through and they never made it this far. Maybe they found a bottle of pills. Maybe they jumped off a bridge. It's the mistake-making part that never let you do that to yourself. See, so now what I've done is I've changed the perspective of the person. This is the part of me that caused all the troubles in my life to lifesaver, ultimate reframe. This is the part that's responsible for keeping you alive, taking care of your children. See, we don't want them to desire the mistake-making part ectomy. We want them to change their perspective about what they were doing and be able to embrace that part back in. Well, self-acceptance and love. Blow it into a balloon and let it go. Ay-yay. I asked if the purpose was to hurt. We maybe, if I go, mistake-making part, is that what you were supposed, is that your intention to hurt her, to ruin her life? if it's a mistaken part, they go, no. I say, you know, if she'd stood up for herself and said, I'm important, I'm beautiful, when she was a little girl, what would have happened? Oh, you know, my dad wouldn't have stood for that. You know, I would have been embarrassed, or I would have been punished, or, oh. So you are just really trying to avoid those things. Protect her from it, really. Yes. Oh, you know what? I must have misnamed you. You're not really the mistake-making part. You're the protective part that's made some mistakes. And almost always you'll get a, ah, okay. Now, what we, instantly, it becomes much more forgivable, right? But if we go, mistake-making part, is that what you meant to do? Is hurt her, ruin her life? And it goes, yes, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Mikhail. I call out to you. See, I don't believe we got a bad part. I think we're all good. I don't believe we have a self-defeating part. I don't believe any of that stuff. We are totally, I mean, everything about us is wired to move towards safety, security, pleasure, achievement, protecting those we care about, and everything like that. So then I would just segue into the Dark Force Entity outline. Okay. So we do the ultimate reframe as lifesaver. I hold her hand to provide support, giving her some strength for doing these difficult things, so that she can say the sometimes difficult things. And see, this is not like Freud, who sits back and is you're so distant, you're the clinician. It's not like that. You're not the cold, calculating psychiatrist physician, or the Freudian type. Analyst, yeah, has the person looking away from them as they free associate. You're so bright, you know, figuring out what's wrong with their psyche. We're like their best friend. For this period of time, maybe we hold their hands and say, come on, I know this is tough, but we can do it together. See? That's the way we are. We give them strength to do the difficult things that they need to do. And then if they need some help understanding this, we have the carpenter story. And you see the carpenter story, how that takes the person who's been overprotecting themselves to where they go, hey, wait a minute, you're right. I can never really be who I need to be unless I start living. You know, I need to go for that job interview, or maybe I need to enroll in college. You know, yeah, I might get a couple C's and D's before I start, you know, really doing well. Or I need to go to that interview. I might need to get rejected a few times so I can learn how to be successful in an interview. Come on, life. Bring it on. See, that's what we want to do. Instead of doing this, I feel kind of nervous today. Eat something. I don't know if I really want to go to that job interview. I'll just stay home and have some cigarettes. Or, you know, I'm really frustrated. Instead of solving the problem, I'm just going to have some drinks today, you know. That's really all infantile behaviors. These are the behaviors of the child attempting to mother itself. You know, I'll talk to someone about, like, the paleo diet. And they go, oh, no, I couldn't give up noodles, and I couldn't give up cookies. And I go, how old are you? I'm only saying like 98% of the time. The other 2%, have a cookie. Have some pasta once in a while. But you can't continue eating the way you're eating. And you say you tried everything else. I tried everything. It doesn't work. Have you tried the paleo diet? What's that? Meat, vegetables, and fruit. Okay. Well, what do you mean? No bread? I said, well, let's say 98% of the time, no bread. You mean no noodles? In fact, you're not even supposed to have potatoes. Meat, fruit, and vegetables. No, you can't have no cookies. No cake. I say, you have it on your birthday. You know, or something. Well, just a little bit. It's not going to hurt you. And they start whining about it. It's like, okay, this is obvious that they're still in the self-mothering mode. Time to get out of it. Protective part gets a new role in life, bodyguard. You see, before they wanted to get rid of them, now what we want to do is say, look, You're important. But you've been working 24/7, trying to avoid every little bump, bruise, and stuff like that. You're going to now start living life. But the protective part's still there. For what? Life, limb, putting on the seatbelt, looking both sides of the street before you cross, taking care of your children like that. And so what's going to happen is you're going to be more rested. You're going to be less stressed out. And then when you need to do those life and death things, you're going to have the energy to do it. This is the deal. The self looks forward to the pain. The protective part gets to rest. And I did some reality testing. There's places where that might be difficult. And then I just worked that out with her. And then one of my favorite things to do, there's one part where I said, can you do that to the protective part? And yes, I can. And there was like this hesitation in their voice. I didn't know if I believed them or not. And so I said, self, do you believe the protective part? You see, they're the same person. And so she would know if the protective part was lying. No. So she said, yeah, I believe him. That's good enough for me, right? And then I can move on. We have them forgive each other because they're the same person. You can't just have the self forgive the protective part. Okay, we need the protective part to forgive the self so we can have a full forgiveness. The forgiveness has been accomplished when the anger is gone. She says, I've done it. Take your attention to that part of your body where you used to have the anger. How do you feel there now? That's where we check. We do a reintegration of the self and the protective part. And so self-love melting back into one. She'll experience a new sense of peace. Remember, earlier she said, I never felt good enough about myself to be loved. And that was earlier in the session with Yesid, I think. And in the previous session. So now that she's loving herself and accepting herself, something is happening. She's becoming more able to receive love from others. You know, when you first started doing this, you said, there's nothing wrong with me? And they go, yeah, right. That's what she would experience if someone said, Gata, you're so wonderful and lovable. Are you just saying that? Remember that? At the end of this session, I should be able to really pour it on. You know, you're a wonderful person of mind, body, spirit, and all this. And what does she do? She goes, now I can actually believe you. So what does this mean? Remember her all this stuff, nobody loves me, and her husband not loving her? She is becoming someone who, if there's opportunity for love to grow in the relationship, to where that can happen. She's also becoming stronger. She doesn't look to everyone else to judge her. She's becoming less, she's becoming more and more lovable and less abusable, too. Because she didn't value herself again. These men or women who are in these abusive relationships, now here I'm talking about men get abused too sometimes. It's not as frequent. But who allow this kind of stuff to go on, it's because they don't feel good about themselves. There's a part of them that goes, yeah, I got it coming, you know. If we change them inside, they will either become someone that other person can no longer abuse, or they simply would refuse to take it and move on to another relationship. I did a cute little post-hypnotic suggestion here between the protective part and the self. And the protective part, I said, you know, so you're gonna stand back and let her take on the pain of life, you know, kind of stuff she needs, right? Yeah. Okay. Now, just out of habit, you can make a mistake and kind of overreact and overprotect. Isn't that right? Yes. But you'd know it instantly, wouldn't you? Yes. But if for some reason you didn't know it, would you be willing to take a little reminder? Just a respectful reminder? Yes. Good. Got it. Self, this is what you got to do. Is if you notice that part is overprotecting in the old way, you just say, it's okay, I can handle it. This is actually a post-hypnotic suggestion for courage. You see? All of a sudden, she starts feeling nervous, starting to do the old thing. She goes, it's okay, I can handle it. And then she shifts into thinking, wow, I need this experience. If I get punched in the nose, I might need a little punching here, you know, whatever it is.
It also has a little bit of a grace cocktail mixed in with it. It's kind of like, your critical self is just going to be a little more nice.
Forgive.
Courage takes over.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Direct suggestion to wrap up the session is always getting back their strength. Bless the pain. You know, some pain's good. In fact, just about all pain is good, so long as it's based in accurate perception. Probably the only pain that isn't good is phantom limb pain. That's where your foot hurts when there ain't no foot there. But just about every other kind of pain in the world's good. Okay, there's nothing wrong with you. Now you will be, and I read off to her the benefits that she put down on her benefits form. Emerge with suggestions for feeling wonderful. And then in the post-hypnotic interview, she goes, it was me all along. Ka-ching, shift of locus of control. I didn't spur that. That was one of the major insights she had upon emerging. This is a definite indication there has been a shift in locus of control. No longer is her power outside of herself, because when we take responsibility for the things that we've done that screwed up our life, at least we know we got our hands on the steering wheel. You know? And we can start steering in another direction. Kind of surprise yourself, didn't you? This encourages the client to tell me about the insights gained from the session, and as they verbalize those, they turn them into beliefs. Who's in control now? I am. Now I can actually believe you. That's why I said, you know, you're a wonderful person, a mind, body, spirit, really nothing wrong with you. And now she could accept it. Wait until everyone runs into you, who you really are. She's excited. Wait until I run in, get out there and see who I really am. You know, not being afraid anymore. Then before I had a chance to protest, she jumps up and gives me a hug, which is quite the different young woman who walked into my office. In addition, additional information about the client. Okay. It took, she had agreed to go through all the different phases with me, and now it was about a month after the session, and I asked Maureen, where's Gada? She goes, yeah, she's supposed to call to make that other appointment. I said, okay. Please contact her, set up the next appointment. And so Maureen calls, and Gada wasn't home. And her husband wasn't home. In fact, they were kind of, well, this was the words that were used to describe the situation. They were in Hawaii on their second honeymoon. And all, she'll contact you when you get back, but right now her and Yesid are off on their second, having a second honeymoon. Okay. Now, he didn't suddenly become Prince Charming. He still got all his issues. Believe me, he needs to go for sessions as much as Gada did, from what I know about him. But what? She got her power back. She felt good about herself. If there was love for him to give, and he wants to love her, and she wants to love him, there's a place for it to grow, you see? And she's a much more independent, much happier person. And yes, her tennis game has improved dramatically. Any other questions about Gada? And someone thought I was kidding, but the first 5 to 10 sessions that I watched those tapes, I learned. Because I'd sit there right in class for like the first 5 times and watch it all. And by observing what I was doing, I became aware of dynamics and nuances of what I was doing, that I was doing kind of subconsciously, unconsciously, that I was able to decipher and make me a better teacher and make me a better therapist. So, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but if there's anything at all that you take from this course, those videos would be very beneficial.
You gotta love it.
Yeah, you like it, right? Okay. Page 81. You know, we go like 100 miles an hour for 2 weeks. I mean, there's just no letting up, is there? I tell you, if you guys didn't have to pee or eat, I just straight through.
Go sleep,
yeah. We probably could actually go through this through a leisurely pace if we could just do it 24 hours a day for 2 weeks. Okay, so, Chapter 8, Parts Mediation Therapy. Parts Mediation Therapy is based on the idea that some people do stuff
because it's being reinforced or demanded in the present for a different reason than why they started. For example, cigarette smoking is generally a joining in behavior. They get in a group where there's people that smoke, and they join in. People with purple hair hang out with people with purple hair. People with leather jackets hang out with people with leather jackets, and so on. So they get in this group, maybe they're big brothers in the group, they kind of start hanging around. That group smoked, they'll smoke. But that's not why people smoke now. You know, once they get to be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, well, not a lot of them get to be 80, right? So, you know, they do it for other reasons, and that they've found that substance to be useful, and it's generally as a distractor. But when we start talking about other things, we can, almost every change, every behavior has some level of secondary gain to it. But whether or not it's powerful enough or significant enough to cause the problem to continue after the cause of the problem has been removed determines whether or not you really have significant secondary gain. For example, after the person stops smoking, once in a while they might go, that'd be kind of nice to have a cigarette. You know, there's some gain in it. You know, have a cigarette, relax. So there's some gain. But then they look at, God, I paid $500 to quit smoking. No way I'm going to do it. So the second gain is there, but it's not significant to continue the behavior. Okay. So when it is significant, how do we know? That's the big question. There's a lot of people that do parts therapy out there, different approaches of parts therapy. And I believe that every single one of them is putting the cart before the horse. Because the best place for parts therapy to occur is for secondary gain. And I can't believe why in the world someone would go after secondary gain unless you've neutralized the primary gain, the cause. Because if you neutralize the secondary gain, but you haven't taken care of the cause, the problem's going to continue. You might get some temporary relief just because of the direct suggestion component and other inherent suggested techniques that were used in the parts therapy. But if the cause of the problem is still there, it's going to come back. Or they will just shift to another distractor. They'll stop smoking but gain 30 pounds. So how do we know what's secondary gain? Well, we're going to do everything we can to get rid of the primary, the cause of the problem. And that's the emotions that are driving the issue. So, let's say I do phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, phase 4. We never just automatically go to phase 5. Phase 5 only happens when we believe there is significant secondary gain issues in the individual's life. So, we have to do phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, phase 4. We think we got it done, and the problem comes back. Now, the problem can come back because of either you haven't really neutralized primary gain, or there's secondary gain. Kim, you look like you need a question answered.
No, we're down at the bottom. We're looking at this list down at the bottom. We're going into parts mediation therapy. We're talking phase 5, 4.
Phase 5.
Okay.
I'm giving you an overview.
Thank you.
It would be nice if you would have read the chapter. You probably have. When we get to this point, we believe we've done the work, we've worked all the way through phase 4, but they start having some problems, either intermittent problems, or they completely go back to the old way. So we got to decide, is that secondary gain? Well, we ask them, when they come in, so, how's it going? And they go, I was doing really good, and then last Thursday, I went crazy, and I ate 3 bags of cookies and 2 bags of potato chips. I don't know why. I know why. There's a part of them that's saying, we ain't dealt with this yet. Before we get done, I'm going to do this behavior so you know that something else needs to be done. Part of them is crying out to say, hey, don't let me go yet, I'm not done. Okay, good. So what do? Put them back in hypnosis, and I regress them back to that time where they're going crazy with the cookies, right? And I say, Let's go to just before you dive into those bags of cookies. 3, 2, 1, be there. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And if they're thinking and feeling the stuff I thought I neutralized, then I didn't neutralize it. And I need to do some affect bridge. I got to go back. Maybe I missed the ISC. Maybe I found the ISC, but I didn't do a good enough job on the informed child technique. Or there may be another ISC that I didn't catch the first time through. You see? So what I do, I took them back to the time, like last week, last Thursday, where they're having the problem. Find out what they're thinking and what they're feeling. If they're thinking and feeling what they had been thinking and feeling before that I thought I had fixed, then I ain't done with that yet. We're still in phase 1, 2, 3, 4. But if I find out that what they're thinking is that they're going to lose something by changing. Gosh, you know, if I stop drinking, somebody's going to expect me to get a job. Or if I, you know, this pain's been gone for a week and a half. If it's gone next time I go to the doctor, I might lose my Social Security insurance. Oh. You see? Little old lady from Pasadena. In California, I can use that. Kind of little old lady from Pasadena. She got a hip problem. You see? It's all bad. There's nothing good about it. Except once a week on Wednesday, her son comes over. They have dinner. And he takes out the trash and does any kind of other heavy lifting. Because she can't do that with that bad hip. Doctor gives her a new hip. Working pretty good now. Guess what? Son doesn't come back every week and visit with her anymore. In fact, it's maybe been 2, 3 months. Subconscious mind doesn't like that. Unconscious mind may begin to generate. This is not malingering. They're not faking it. But the subconscious, unconscious mind can put all this together and say, gosh, you know, I think that hip replacement was about 50% successful. I better call my son. You know, I feel better, but I don't think I'm really able to take out that trash every week. You don't mind coming by, do you? You see? So that's secondary gain. There's a reason in the now that those people will hang on to their problem. Then what we're going to do is we're just going to follow basic mediation theory. If you have not yet read, I actually learned how to do this when I was in graduate school getting certified as a mediator. And I'll get into this in more detail tomorrow. So I want to make sure you have enough to pass the exam tonight. I'm covering it up to where you can pass the exam. Between what I said and reading that chapter. Or at least for most of you to pass the exam. Okay. I'm so wicked, I know. Okay. All right. So we're just going to have a process, but in a nutshell, we're going to divide them back into two parts. There's the part that wants to change. That's the self. And then there's the still wanting to blank part. And then what we're going to do is we're going to find out what all the good stuff is about changing. Then we're going to ask them, what's all the good stuff about staying in the old way? Then what we're going to do is we do a mediation process where we shift the focus from the behavior to the needs that are being met by either approach. And then what we're going to do, for example, the old lady with the bad hip, what does she want? She's trying to get her love and social needs met through her son. Okay? Whatever satisfaction we get out of being with our children in our old age. Okay? And so what we will do is we will do then some brainstorming between me, the self, and the still wanting to do the old thing. And see if we can come up with a new way of getting those needs met without having the pain. We will also rename the still wanting to do the old thing part in terms of the need, want, or desire. For example, the still wanting to have the pain in the hip part will become the wanting to spend time with her son part. You see? Because if we call it, if we continue to call it the still having the pain in the hip part, it's never going to want to stop having the pain in the hip, because that's essentially death for the part. So we shift from the behavior, calling it the behavior, the still having the pain in the hip part, to calling it by its need, want, or desire. But another example of that is, if we had a self who wants to stop smoking pot, and then we have the still wanting to smoke pot part, then we discover, as we find out all the good stuff about smoking pot, that really what he's doing is using it to fulfill his social needs. Comfortable in crowds, hang out with the group, whatever. We go, oh, gosh, I must have misnamed you. You must be really the social part, or the fun and relaxation part. How does that make you feel? Far out, man. You know, that's me. You know, good. So then we've got these two. They're no longer in conflict. I go, self, hey, hanging out with friends and having a good time, that's not a bad thing, is it? No. Okay. So now I got them on the same page. Let's generate some other ways that you could do that. We come up with a list. We whittle it down to what we think would really work. That becomes the direct suggestion. We wrap it up with direct suggestion that it will now do this rather than the old behavior. And that's so in line with what we talk about in the secret language of feelings. All feelings are good when they're based in reality. And what do we want to do? We want to satisfy the feeling. So we identify the deficit in the feeling and come up with something they can do. So when he doesn't smoke pot, he would feel lonely. You see, because the social part. And so that's what would drive him to smoke the pot. So what we do, that's marijuana. In case you don't know pot. You take a lot for granted, you know. And then, so you have this here, and then you change it so they will fulfill the need, want, or desire. Totally in line with the fundamentals of what we do in Five Path, and that is the secret language of feelings. All right. Good. I will not take any questions on that. It's all, everything you need to know to pass the exam is in that next chapter. Here comes the exam. Better to give than to receive, that's what they say. Gosh, it doesn't look like there's enough. Somebody might be left out. Okay, Nina, have the advanced exams been emailed to the online students? That's what we got to have done. Wouldn't want you guys to miss out. That would not be good. Because you would have spent 2 weeks in the course and not pass. Okay, Nina, whoever set these files up to me did not give me enough exams for everybody. So please act now. Danny is supposed to have done this. John is supposed to coordinate.
It got thinner. I thought that was too.
Ooh, isn't that nice? He gives it to her. He can have the exam. Start reading through that. I'll be back in just a moment with more exams.
Did I hand out the master? Raise your hand if you don't have a copy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You'll have it in just a moment.
Come on, be honest now. Here's the master.
Thank you. Don't tell me some cat key already got on the thumb, all right.
There you go. While you guys look through, I'm going to have another handout out. This is the 7-Path Self-Hypnosis Teacher's Agreement. In order for you to get your certification as a 7-Path Self-Hypnosis Teacher tomorrow, in addition to passing the exam, you must give me this filled out completely.
Do you want it today?
It'll be due in the morning. I'll get ample time for at least some of you to lose it, and you have to provide your answer. I haven't taught this class before. It only looks like it's the first time I've done this.
I'll collect them all for you tomorrow to test the
excellent idea.
The warrior horse. Did you ever do stage hypnosis?
Nope. I got nothing against it. It's not interesting.
But your uncle did, or if a family member?
No, he was a hobby of it. Worked on family, friends, stuff like that.
Good.
You see, you got to be kind of a ham, and you like to get up to get in front of audiences and stuff like that. I don't care, man.
I had a horse.
That's interesting. Seven times he's a human. Boy, you sure know when the general manager is. Oh, while I'm handing out stuff. Oh, I forgot. When I get that back from you, I'll give you the script for giving out the recognition. I also have a... Please hand those out to whoever hasn't got them yet. Here is a little script for the tie tug demonstration of the instant induction. We go, sleep. It's the same as though with the ear tug. Sleep. And this is just extra stuff. The last day with all the stress you're going through, like, I like that quite sound. Please confirm that our online students have the handout that says tie tug demonstration of instant induction by post-hypnotic suggestion. If they don't, then they're going to do so, then we get that. What else can I give up? Okay, you guys all have the exams now. Please read through the exams. It'll be just like last time. I will not be with you this evening to when you take the exam. And so make sure you understand all the questions and all the answers. Here's another thing I must have. And if you're leaving tonight, and I'm not going to see you tomorrow, then I need this stuff before you go. Because like the Seven Path teaches. I need to have a photo release form signed and witnessed by the person next to you so that we have permission to use your picture on your website. On our website. We did. Ignore anything on here that says video or audio recording. Because we didn't do a video. Blood's better.
You already took that. So, this
be my business. That's right. Can I get a witness?
Cool song.
Grim song. Good. I got everything handed out that I want to hand out, except for tomorrow you get the script for giving out the recognitions. Let's do this, just for so we don't get things lost. Please take a break from doing the exam and take care of the photo release right now. I'll pick that up, and then we don't have to worry about that not getting picked up tomorrow. So just read that, have it witnessed, sign it, give it back. Take it. Yep. Just like your first. That's why I want you to read it right now. Make sure you have some questions.
I was just going to
It'd be a shame if I missed one, then your group photograph didn't go up on the website. Your class picture. Okay, good, that's done. Now, let's go ahead and move forward to that other handout I gave you, which is the 7-Path Teachers Agreement. Looks like 50% of you have already filled out and signed it anyway. So go ahead and you'll still have time to read through the exam. Take all the time you need to read through this. You know, it doesn't take that long, but take the time you need. You're basically saying the teacher must always treat his or her students in a respectful and ethical way. Yeah, as much as I do you guys. The teacher must never give this training for free without written permission from me. And I'll listen to your plight or whatever you want to do, and then I won't.
I'm glad you put that in.
Yeah. And the teacher must provide a 7-Path self-hypnosis booklet to each student or client that he or she works with or teach 7-Path self-hypnosis to. Currently, the name of the booklet is Get on the Path Program Yourself for Success, Study Guide for 7-Path Self-Hypnosis by moi. Gracias. Gracias. All the stuff I've already said. This one?
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
You guys have such a good handwriting. Socks.
This is a special group. Raise your hands if you haven't been to the yet. I haven't cleared your form yet.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All back
then?
She is. I got
the
other one. She's laughing. I'm laughing at my. Okay, then just proceed into the exam, read through it. Once you've satisfied yourself that you understand the questions and the answers, then turn your exam over. John! No, they've already taken the, or if they haven't already, they will take the 200 question exam, the mega exam. I cannot hear you. Well, do you know who's done what? Do you know who's taken the 200 question exam? Can't hear you.
So what's the next
book? Neither one have taken them yet? That's my point. It may have already been done, and then you don't have to send it off. Okay, don't worry about it. We're not talking about doing exams with the C5s right now. We want to make sure that Ali and Candace have their exams. Both Celeste and Nancy Ho, they're going to have some training time with Maureen
in which you will take care of all that kind of paperwork stuff. Okay, you online people, you got to get us a signed copy of this stuff in too, if you want your certificates. You hold them hostage. Take you longer, and everybody will have to wait for you to finish doing the exam. Just read through the questions, read the answers, and then we can get on with what we have to do next. When you are done, put the exam upside down, and then I know, face down, so I can see a blank exam, just like I said before. Yes, and then I will know that you are done reading it, and that we can go on. Because if you all just sit there and keep going through it over and over and over again, waiting for someone else to be done, you never get done. You do not take the exam now. Just read through the questions. Okay, so I need everyone. Turn it upside down, let's see back exam that way, and we're done. So, turn it down. Done. We should put on the back page, done. Let's see all this done stuff. Where's you?
Somewhere.
Why don't we so much resistance though? So we just have one or two more people doing it. Don't rush. Take your time. It's more important that you know that you understand the question, even if it takes just a couple more minutes. It's probably hard to concentrate with me talking all the time.
Tomorrow we don't leave the building, right?
And you talking all the time. I'm just kidding. Can we leave the building? Well, we're going to be having lunch here, but if you want to leave the building on a break, you can do that. Okay, so the only one we have that's still not taking the exam, but just reading through it, is Kim. When you're sitting there checking off things, it looks to me like you're taking the exam.
No, it gives me a point so my attention doesn't fall over.
Okay.
What's your point?
So when I get interrupted, I can go right back to where I left off.
Okay.
Ooh.
Well, then you got it. Right. Okay, good. Today's assignment, and tomorrow morning, real age regression with hypnosis and affect bridge. So, page 57. Page 57, exercise 3, hypnotize age regression and affect bridge. That's for this evening and tomorrow morning. This exercise is the same as the previous one, except that when you have your subject in age regression, find a happy time and have her focus on that feeling and suggest that she follow that feeling back to an earlier time when she felt that way as you count back from 5 to 1. This affect bridge will be conducted like this. Take your attention to that happy feeling inside yourself, and as I count from 5 back to 1, let that good feeling take you back to an earlier time you felt that way. So, prearrange time and place for the regression. Should be before the age of 12. Induce hypnosis, use a short element. Deepen with the three things we do in hypnosis deepening script. Four, regress by counting back from 5 to 1 as before. That's a date time regression. Spend 5 minutes moving through the regression, maximum. Conduct the affect bridge technique by having the subject focus on a pleasant or happy feeling and then following that feeling back to the time it felt that way. Now, by definition, we're going to a happy time. So if we're going to a happy time, they should be feeling happy. Okay? So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. The prearranged time. Okay? Catching my fish with my uncle. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. First impression, daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone or with someone. Good. Who's there? My uncle. What are you doing? We're fishing. Okay, tell me everything that happens. Oh, I think I got a fish. How do you feel? Oh, I'm excited. And you keep going along, and all of a sudden he's got the fish out, and he's so excited. And he said, good. How do you feel? Oh, I'm so excited. I feel wonderful. Good. Focus on feeling wonderful. We're going to follow that back to an earlier time. You felt like this. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Be there. First impression. And this is a non-prearranged time. This is, wow, look. I've just like got a bonus happy time here, okay? And then they then spend a few minutes there, not too long, and then unregress them, bring them back to this time, and emerge. Thank you, B. Thank you for being so patient with Uncle Krabby. Okay, now get busy.
Hey, Mark. Your partner. No. Hey. I work.